With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the team from No One Likes Us Talking. I say it every week, but I do. This week it is George Lampy, Stan Godwin and Patricia Maslin. And we're talking kits because there could be a new sponsor.
Yeah, they did. Post on the website this week a new sponsor on the back of the shirt up by the collar. That was Energy Check. The only thing is, it was last year's kit. If you looked really closely, like I did, it's photoshopped on.
Pat was zooming in and out on it.
You know. Got Sherlock Holmes in the studio tonight.
Yeah, it was badly photoshopped onto the back of the kit. Unless this year's kit is very similar, I think they're giving us a bum steer on that one. I did hear we was going to have white sleeves, but that got denied during the week. So they're just not letting us on to anything. We've also heard that Husky Chocolate might be the actual shirt sponsors on the front. They're already putting money in the club with advertising. They sponsor Formula One.
That's
got
right.
Quite a lot of money.
They do.
Swiss Club with a few billion in the bank, so hopefully.
Yeah, could do good things in the transfer market, certainly. For you lot, do you care who sponsors the shirt? Does it matter?
Yeah. For me, it matters. Yeah.
So what about it is important?
Sorry.
What do you look for in a shirt sponsor?
Well, I mean, I think if you're going to have people that's going to sponsor your club, I mean, they have to be people of some sort of credibility. You know, I mean, a couple of years ago, for example, there was a talk of us being sponsored by, one of these money
supermarket,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever. Well,
price comparison websites.
Yeah, and all them sort of things, right? And, well, we weren't having none of that. I mean, then we ended up having the prostate cancer one. That's what I'm saying, you see. So
a good cause.
We didn't charge them any money at all, the prostate. We just put that on our shirts.
But we have had bad days. We've had weather in Norwegian one year. I mean, that was awful. Yeah. Well, not for the men.
What's so wrong with that?
Live TV, I remember that.
That was really bad.
And we were sponsored by Euro Ferries, who never had any ships, so that was...
Oh, hang on, they weren't the Brexit one, were they?
No, were they?
No.
They weren't the one with the pizza menu.
No, it was very similar, but just ahead of that.
I mean, they were a strange outfit, that was, because... These people was going to run this firm. They was actually Millwall supporters.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And they are. What happened? We was on the MSC, and they asked to meet us at the time, and we sat there with just one special meeting. They were going all through what they were going to do and all this sort of thing, and then at their end, it all went wrong. And somehow, I never quite understood it, because they couldn't deliver. The MSC got the blame for that, and I don't understand it. Nothing to do with us. All we ever did was meet them.
We just blame Stant for everything.
Well, that is the easiest thing to do.
That's very true.
the things you want from a sponsor, though, is you want them to have lots of money.
Always good.
And you want their logo to look good on your shirt.
Absolutely. Which is more important? Would you take a really, really awful-looking kit for another £5 million in the transfer kitty?
Well, I mean, they tend not to dominate the kit, do they? They tend to put their... their logo.
Well, Arsenal got Visit Rwanda on the sleeves. I'm sure Rwanda's lovely this time of year, but it looks rubbish.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you see, that's the, yeah, but you see, the problem is now, right, up until a couple of years ago, you had a sponsored it, the main sponsor on the front of the shirt, whoever it was, W.H. Smith and whatever. But then they allowed, right, that you could, football clubs could have shirts, other sponsors on sleeves and on the back of collars. And, you know, and if you wasn't careful, you'd look like sort of, you know, 22 people running around like Yellow Pages advertising this, that and the other on the pitch. Like, you know what I mean? So, but that's a change of the rules, isn't it?
Yeah, but we've heard that Husky, the family, are really into the club at the moment. Last year, they seemed to take the club on board, which was surprising.
Where have they come from? Why are they suddenly so interested?
Well, they advertised on the billboards last year, didn't they? I don't know where they've actually come from, but social media, seemingly, they're really in love with the club and they want to invest heavily in the club. I did wonder whether they'd buy Berylson out.
Well, I don't think this is nailed on at the moment. I think it's still in the pipeline, actually. That's what I'm being told. So.
Okay, we're hearing different things.
Ooh, well, it's all very mysterious. Pat, we're going to need more Sherlock Holmesing, I think, for next week. I'm expecting you to come in with a pipe.
I'll be in Chicago.
But beyond just the sponsor, firstly, what kind of kit are we expecting and what kind of kit do you want?
Blue and white.
Not fussed, as long as it's blue and white.
Yes, I mean, we've had the Dundee blue for these last several years now. I think, well, I like Dundee blue.
So
I don't know about the guys.
Most people want to go
I
back like to it. Royal, the old colour.
No, I like the Dundee blue one. And then I like the Royal blue. And because it has to be said, in the past, Millwall, as their first shirt, have actually had white shirts, which has always been popular, although I don't think this year we're going to get a white shirt.
No.
But you don't know. But if they did, I don't suppose too many people would be unhappy about
it. No, I think lots of people like the white kit, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think there's always criticism at the start of the season about the kit. I think, but as time goes on, you get used to it. It's like the stripes. I hated it when it came out. By the end of the season, it's the best kit we've ever had.
It's funny you say that, because that happened to me last season. On the opening day of the season, I'm in getting me shirt because it had been on order. And while I'm standing in the queue, because it was Ramo in there, some bloke said, well, where's the away strip, he said. And the woman said, it's up there, and it was a grey shirt. And it looked like some sort of, it looked sort of dreadful. And then they had the third shirt, and I said, oh, I'll have that one, they said. But then I thought, because I normally get them, and I didn't bother. But then eventually, I just sort of warmed to the grey shirt. And when I eventually got it, I had it on for about a week. I couldn't take it off.
Are you all committed purchasers of the new shirt?
No
you
one
get
over
the kit?
50 should wear a football shirt. I'm sorry.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
I'm sure you don't sit there with your shirt on.
I think it looks great.
No, I tell you, right, and this is true. Where I live, in one of the supermarkets, right, round where I live, and this is true, on the opening day of the season, you walk round here on a Saturday morning and you'll see blokes, right, it's like a different blokes with different football shirts on from different teams. That's what they do, and I don't see nothing wrong with it, personally.
Why do you think that no man over 50? Why 50 is the cut-off point?
Well,
and what's the 40 problem?
40 was a cut-off point for me. I just think people look a bit sad wearing them. Sorry, Stan.
Oh, I'm glad I've come, Pat. I'm glad I've come.
She's giving you a lift, Dan. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Well, I think Stan looks great. It's a very nice kit. Remind us what season it's from.
85, 86. And it was when Millwall was sponsored by the London Docklands Development Corporation. Mm.
Yeah, it's a white sleeve.
Because I've got a thing about the docks and the part it played in Millwall's history and whatever.
Hmm.
It's a fascinating subject.
It's a great shirt. Don't listen to Pat. Don't listen to Pat. It's fine. We've got lots to talk about beyond kits, of course. In just a moment, we're going to have Wesley Reid, former Millwall player, on the line. But first, a quick update for you from Elise, the young lady who has walking challenges. A video was posted on her wish to walk with the following message. As I start physio this week, so this was last Monday, I've just realised I didn't give you all last week's update. The short video showed her pacing sideways, both to the left and the right, holding her physiotherapist's hands. She explained that a lot of her work was based on that and strengthening work. She's had a busy week, physio, in and out of school and a school trip. She's still working away, showed her drive on the stairs with sprints and smiling. So clearly moving in the right direction. Some great news from a determined young lady.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and George Lampy, Stan Godwin and Patricia Maslin of No One Likes Us Talking. It's a fantastic show, but we might have a problem for the next 48 minutes because Stan and Patricia are no longer talking to each other. So I'm going to have to take messages, we'll pass them in between and have a conversation that way. I just want to have a quick word from you guys on Lee Gregory. I've got him on the mind because I had BBC Stoke ask me about him today because they clearly know about the show. They said they'd heard your podcast, big fans, and they were saying, well, what can Stoke City expect from Gregory if and when he signs there? How would you bill him to a new employer?
I think they would get a player who's obviously he's a short guy. He's only about 5'10". He works his socks off. If he was to be supplied with good quality football, he would get any team quite a few goals. He has the ability to score good goals. I'm not sure he got many quality balls playing for us last season, but no one can fault the effort and the work rate that boy puts in all season. You know, and I think he intended to leave us for some time now, but he never shirked his responsibility. And for quite a bit of the time when Neil changed his format, his formation, Neil, Lee was up there on his own, wasn't he?
So, he was,
And he still worked his socks off, and it was, you know, pretty desperate at times. He was 30 feet, 30 yards away from anybody at times.
I mean, he's had a few critics with his goal scoring this year, but you can't put his work rate. He was brilliant. Really sad to see him go.
The only thing I would criticise is sometimes he's one-to-ones. If he gets them, he doesn't. You know, they're not always going the way that you'd like them to go.
So. Yeah, I just like to have seen him with Tomo this year. You know, it was starting to come off, wasn't it, between them? Tomo going forward with him.
Yeah, he made a lot of difference to our team.
I mean, any striker. I mean, and Lee, you know, you can't fault him for, as Jules said, for effort and work rate and whatever. But any striker needs decent service. Now, last season, right, which is not his fault, he was not getting any decent service at all, to be fair. So, but the only thing that sort of bothers me, though, sometimes, is, you know, and I don't know whether it's the Stoke supporters are like this, but, I mean, assuming that Gregory goes there, because what tends to happen with some of these people, especially with these clubs that have been in the Premier League, they come down, don't they, and some of these people think they're a cut above everybody else. And all of a sudden, it's, well, Lee Gregory's a good first division player, but yeah, and it's because we're Stoke City, we deserve better than that. Well, they deserve better than that. Well, what are they doing in the Championship? You know what I mean? No, but it's, you know.
Yeah, no, it's
true. They didn't go up last year, did they? And whatever. So that's the only. But, you know, let's put it this way. If Lee Gregory suddenly decided he wanted to come back to Millwall, you wouldn't find anybody down there complaining about it.
He was their player of the year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The thing I would say with Stan talking about Stoke is that I thought they looked like, and they hadn't had a great season, but they looked like they had a lot of quality players. And I think Lee would fit in there very well indeed, actually.
Well, it's sounding like he could be there. I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by Wesley Reed. Good evening, Wesley. Thanks for joining us. You're a local lad. You joined Millwall from Arsenal. You joined Bradford City, ended your career in Dulwich Hamlet. But we're hearing that you've just returned from Thailand, where you were playing in the England Seniors World Cup. You lost by a single goal to Iran in the final. It sounds extraordinary. How did you get involved with that?
Good evening, first of all. I'm glad to be on the programme. Thank you. I first got involved, I played for a vets team called Manor Athletic with quite a few other vets. Jamie Lawrence used to play for Bradford, Sean Davis who played for Fulham and Portsmouth and a few other good players. And we play against another vets team from Harrogate who have Peter Beardsley and Dean Windass. And it just came from there. Their manager saw me and said, would I mind going out? Last year was my first year, so I did go out and we won it last year and went out again this year.
Ah, Wesley, it's Stan here. How are you,
Hi,
mate?
Stan.
All right?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to hear from you, Stan. You good?
Yeah, and you, mate. And so at this competition that you was in, what's the sort of period of time it takes like?
It's an annual competition. They play every year. It's based on when the Tsunami hit Thailand in 2006, and they tried to bring tourism to it. So even though it's a vets competition, it's not as straightforward as it sounds. You've got to have, your goalkeeper's got to be over 38 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And at any one time, you've got to have three players between 39 and 44 on the pitch. And then you can have four players between 44 and 49. And you've got to have three between 49 over. But only can you re-put the 49s on. So once you sub the player that's between 39 and 44, once you sub them, they're off completely. It's only the only 50s, which is a catalogue that I come in, are allowed to come back on.
Sure, but
well, I think
I'm
we could get a team here, Wiz.
Yeah, you know, you probably could.
We fit the age.
But hang on, that would require men over the age of 40 to wear football shirts. We can't be having that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that could be done with you.
Well, I mean, Wiz, you joined the club at a really exciting time, and definitely. I mean, the two guys that I'm going to mention, John Doherty and McClintock. What was it like working with them guys?
An absolute pleasure. I knew a bit about Frank from being at Arsenal. Obviously, he was someone who had done unbelievable things for Arsenal, the 71 double and that. So I knew of Frank, and I knew a little bit of Doc, but didn't know him too well. But I can honestly say, and quite a few of the lads have met up recently. We met up a couple of weeks ago for a reunion. When you look back, you think of people who have shaped your life and had a real bearing on how you see life and how you conduct yourself. And Frank and Doc were two people that not only do I know shaped my life, but many, many of the other lads who we recently met up with. Doc was just someone that that you just wanted to play for. He had something about him. He had this unerring power to make you do things even though you didn't want to do it. You'd go in there and talk about something, whether it be a contract or not playing, or just something that you had your mind set on doing. And 5 minutes with Doc puffing on his cigar and pausing every now and again, you would come out of a meeting thinking, oh, he's done it again. He still is a real top gentleman, really, really is. And lots of the players say that about him.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Wes, we've just had a goal for England in the Women's World Cup. It's England 1, Argentina 0. Taylor getting on the end of a wonderful Beth Mead cross. Have you been watching the tournament? What do you make of the Lionesses?
I think they're a good team, and I have no preference of whether it's men's football or women's football. For me, football is just football. If you're technically good at something, you're just technically good. And I've just been watching bits and pieces of it. I saw the penalty save, but I was quite confident that we would eventually break them down.
Always nice to beat Scotland as well, Wesley, whether it's the men or the women.
It certainly is.
Oh, sorry there. Wes, I've been up in the exec lounge when you've been there presenting. What's that like
now? Oh, brilliant.
What's that like now working up there?
Oh, I really enjoy it. It's a chance for me to give back to Millwall. And not only myself, but we had at the time, and hopefully we still have when we go back, your Billy Nils, who have been there 50-odd years, bring a wealth of experience. You've got Jimmy Carter, who was there. You've got Les Brierley. You've got Brian Horn. And you've got Barry Rowan. It's quite an honour, really, to impart some knowledge on what's happened in the past and also be able to give people a nice, relaxing, comfortable day. There's nothing better than if you're a Millwall supporter to promote the club from within, you know, and have an understanding of the club.
It's, you know, if you go up there, it's lovely having you guys there. You know, it adds to the occasion and the atmosphere, as Pat was saying there. I think it's much nicer to have players who have played and feel for the club there and communicating with you. Plus, when I said you still look as young as you did when you played for us,
I remember you shot
down to the bar and got me drink for me.
That's probably why I'm not making much of a profit out of it.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it's important that when people come, I don't think you necessarily have to have, up to a point, played, but you've got to have a passion for the club. You've got to be able to entertain people who may not have been to the club before, who may not know the history of Millwall. So you've got to be able to, you know, be able to go back over the years and name players and talk about good times and just generally give people a feel of what Millwall Football Club is about. And, you know, we're a family club. We're a club of people who, regardless of what the press want to press and other people want to portray us. We know that we're a club of hard-working, decent people who just want to watch good football and appreciate good football. And also, on top of good football, we want to be able to be entertained, and not only by football, but when you have your corporate side of things, when you sit down and you pay for a meal and you do a stadium tour, you know, you just want to be able to be entertained by the people who are part of that tour. And I think with the team that we have, not only the 50 years that Billy and Barry have been there, you've got more recent after their 50 years, a lot of us who came in the late 80s. So you've got a lot of experience that can go back over the years.
Oh, Wes, I think we're losing you, but thank you ever so much for your time. Lovely to speak to you. Wesley Reed there, of course, former Millwall man. Great to hear. He's keen on the Women's World Cup, but he's not having any of the media nonsense about Millwall. He can come again.
I did have a complaint about the exec lounge, but he's gone there. So
what's the complaint?
Well, last time I was up there, there's a quiz pre-meal, and the men got a football question, and the women got a question on Katie Price.
What was the question?
Well, I don't know anything about Katie Price.
Just to make you happier, it weren't a question on knitting or anything like that.
Don't seem unreasonable to me to question you, anyway.
You could have combined both, couldn't you? You could go which Trinidadian ex-United player. You know, there are various.
I tell you, when I very first went into the executive lounge, I mean, it was a real eye opener. And I mean, I remember sitting there, and because you had all different players coming, when I first went there, Wesley wasn't there then. He wasn't doing it then, but. You know, I was watching people and they were talking to the former players like Barry Rowan and Jimmy Carter and all the rest of it, right? And there's no doubt, not just at Millwall, but any club where they have it, that's the right thing to do because if you didn't have... Because then when people go in there, that's the one thing they look forward to more than anything else is talking to the ex-players.
Yeah.
Les Brierley or whoever it might be, you know?
That's what it's about, isn't it? And great to hear people like Wes getting involved with that and talking to the fans as well. And congratulations to Stanley Springle, who has won the June Ted's Prediction League with a cracking 10 points out of 12. That is, I think, in our time so far on this show, probably a record. He's predicted 3 of the 4 games with accurate scores and 1 with the correct outcome as well. Stanley wins, and no one likes us talking chrome keyring and pen. I still haven't got my no one likes us talking chrome keyring, presumably because I haven't won Ted's Prediction League.
Have I given you a mug yet?
You haven't given me a mug. You did give me a Millwall pen, though, which I treasure. Right. I keep it close to me at all times.
I'll bring
times.
You a mug.
Wonderful.
Well, what about giving us a mug, then?
Well, Neil Harris will hope that no one makes a mug out of him in the transfer market. Coming up, we'll be talking about all of Millwall's targets.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and we are talking transfers. Could a hammer be set to enter the Lions' den? We're hearing that West Ham under-23 goalkeeper Nathan Trott is going to join us from West Ham on loan. He's highly rated, but before we get into Trott specifically, do you care about a current or even a former West Ham player playing for the club?
No. I mean, I'll tell you what, right? One of the best players we ever had down at Millwall on loan, right, was Glenn Johnson, right? And I tell you this, I've been at Millwall for some years now, and I've seen players playing for Millwall that have either come from Crystal Palace or from Charlton, and I've heard people, not all the time, but I've heard people saying, why don't you get back to the Valley or get back to Selhurst? I'll tell you one thing, when Glenn Johnson was here, I never heard any of that.
Stay here, please.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I'll tell you something else. He was signing on a sort of loan by loan session because you didn't have the transfer window then as such, but he had to go back at the last minute. And what happened on the last game of the season, we were playing Coventry, and Gary McAllister was the player manager, beat him 2-0, and they come out, and Glenn Johnson actually come back from West Ham, and he come and he went round on the pitch, and I've never heard anybody complain. So to me, the issue is, I'm not interested in what club he played for. The question is, can he play football? If he can play football, we're due for me.
Do you both agree with that?
I think anyone that comes from West Ham, there will be a touch of, you know, and there's me shaking the hand as we talk here. But I think Stan's exactly right. I think if this boy, you know, as a goalkeeper, he's as good as maybe we all hope he is, and he comes to us, he would only need to pull off a few good saves, and I don't think we'd be too bothered about it. The only thing that, as with all loans or anything like that, I'm one who likes us to have our own players rather than too many loanees.
I would agree with that.
Is there an irony to this, though? Because when West Ham signed David Martin from Millwall a couple of weeks ago, there were eyebrows raised from a West Ham perspective saying, well, listen, we've got this young lad, Nathan Trott, who could be third choice, possibly not ready to be backup, but could be involved. If this happens, is it just a really needless goalkeeper swap between two clubs who certainly nominally don't really like each other?
Well, I don't know, because I was reading an interview that Tom King gave in the Southwark News yesterday, and he's saying he had a chat with David Martin, and it was interesting because, you know, he was saying that David Martin he had the chance to go back there, the ground's 20 minutes from where he lives, or the training ground anyway. But he was saying you could sort of read between the lines, as good as the season he had last season, or towards the end of it, he wasn't certain that he was going to be number one starter at Millwall. So he might have thought to himself, well, if that's going to be the case, then I might as well go to West Ham and whatever. Well, good luck to him.
He would more likely earn twice as much at West Ham as he does at Millwall.
Well, yeah, but it ain't all about money, George, you know what I mean?
Well, there's the link with his dad as well.
Yeah, that's right,
It's a family club, isn't it?
So. And Joe and his brother, Joe Martin, who played for us, have played for West Ham as well in his early days. So, you know, good luck to him.
I like Joe. I thought Joe was a good lad, actually.
Well, Millwall in for quite a few keepers. Do we have any news on young Ramsdale from Bournemouth or indeed Bielkowski?
Oh, well.
Whoa, the goalkeeper. Now, that's a strange one, right? Because I was told by somebody not too far from me that there was going to be a signing made today, right? And it turned out it was going to be a goalkeeper.
Right, and then, has that happened?
No, but then you see, the goalkeeper was originally the guy from Ipswich, this Polish guy, whatever his name is. But then I then read that was now likely to be off because he then suddenly said that he wanted to go and play abroad.
Right.
Right, and you thought, right, okay, fair enough. But then this afternoon I'm on the bus. And I'm reading.
Oh, we weren't on the bus.
I was actually on the bus. Yeah. And I was then reading something on a Facebook page to say that it would appear that this is an Ipswich paper saying this. You
right.
know? And they're saying it looks like he's going to be coming to Millwall. And I thought, well, hang on, I thought he wanted to play abroad. Now, no. But this
I've
article.
I've heard
was,
that he wants to come Millwall. I've heard nothing about him going abroad.
Yeah, that's, so,
the trouble is, they're asking 1.5 million?
I don't know.
Yeah, 31-year-old?
That's what I saw.
But a keeper, so 31, less important. He's a very good player, championship pedigree.
He's basically a first division player now.
Technically. Yeah, but Poland international.
Yeah, but I think now, I mean, in the championship, I mean, like the million-pound player is like the equivalent, the modern-day equivalent, like what it used to be when it was £100,000.
Yeah,
you know, that's how I think it's worked now.
I'm not sure our football club would pay £1.5 million for a 31-year-old.
I don't think they will either. No. I mean, he's been their player of the year 3 times, and he was good at Portman Road last season. He was their only decent player, but I don't think we'll pay £1.5 million.
Well, it looks like according to what I've also heard, it looks like we've made an offer for the guy from Portsmouth of 2.5 million.
Jamal Lowe.
Yep.
Neil Harris is being very coy on this. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to talk about individual players who play for other clubs, which normally, reading between the lines, means, yes, I really like him and I'd like to sign him.
Yeah. I mean, but it goes back to what we've been saying all throughout last season. You know, I keep hearing about, and George has been trumpeting this, about the quality players everywhere and the fortunes they cost and whatever, which I don't necessarily believe about the fortunes bit, right? But the fact is, if there's all this quality there and you want to stay in the championship, the rules are... that's right. You can't suddenly keep saying, oh, we've got a small budget and whatever, because you're going to have to do something about it. Because you cannot afford to stand still.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you're going down.
What about...
I was going to say was, if we have a transfer window this season... or now, like we had last summer, or in the, what's the name? Then next season, we're dropping through the door. It's as simple as that. And Berylson's got to get his egg box into gear around that.
We can't do that again because we didn't get anybody in, did we, as far as forward line was concerned.
I think Lowe's worth £2.5 million anyway.
But to answer your question, John, if we are spending £2 million on strikers and things like that, and I'm looking at the guys here, then our budget is much bigger than what we normally.
But it's going to have to be, George. It's going to have to be.
What about the loan market? So you're being linked, for example, with a young lad from Liverpool, Herbie Kane, who was decent on loan at Doncaster, 4 goals in 38 appearances. Darren James, of course, of No One Likes Us Talking, has suggested Christian Bielek in the past, who was very, very good on loan at Charlton. What about trying to get in some Premier League quality on a free just for the year?
I'm not saying that these players ain't good, but the only thing that slightly bothers me with all this, and I mean, Neil did allude to it a couple of years ago when it turned out it was an Arsenal player, although he didn't say so at the time, but he tried to get somebody in on loan from Arsenal and they were saying, yeah, you can have him, but he's got to play. And he said, no, I'm not having none of that. Now, that's the thing that gets me, right? I mean, I don't know how good some of these are.
Bielek is very
good. I'm not sad, but I mean, I don't want to be in a position where we're being told, or the manager's being told, that he has to play this bloke, quality or not quality, because
The only people who the manager should have to ask to are the board, and sometimes the fans get into the boardroom as well. It's weird that keeps happening.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show, and we've had some of your messages into the show. Remember, you can call us 0208 7020 558. WhatsApp on that same number, or it's at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Jackie Knight says, tune in and hear my son Sam in the boardroom. He will be with us in about 10 minutes' time. We've had another message in, and this one is directed for you, Pat. It's from our own Eamon Barclay, who says, yeah, but who won the football question for you in the quiz, Pat?
Oh, no, that was a year, but that was before. He wasn't at this one.
Was it Eamon?
Eamon did win us a round of drinks.
Very annoying. Yeah, he won you a round of drinks?
A round of drinks, he won.
Go on. Was he wearing a football shirt at the time?
No, I can't get one to fit him.
Well, that's... Eamon, if you're listening.
Sorry, Eamon.
We all love you, so don't you worry.
You deserve that. Eamon.
He's in Ireland.
Yeah, he's well out of reach. I'm delighted to say we've got two fans in the boardroom this week. It's a bonanza. We're joined on the line by Chris Matthews, who is our first. Chris's first game was Big Kitch's last in May of 1982 against Bristol City. Since then, he's been a season ticket holder and is a regular bucket shaker, but sadly missed Jimmy's Day at the Den this year and can be regularly found in Block 2 of the Kitchener Stand. Chris, thank you for joining us. How do you think the board will be feeling looking back on last season?
A mixture, in my opinion, in all honesty. I think they'll be a little bit disappointed not to have emulated what we did the season before. But I think they've got to look at the real coffers of it and ask themselves, did we back Neil enough? And I think that's the real question. As much as Neil's probably been asking for it, are they giving him the right amount of money?
What is the right amount of money?
Well, this is it. We can challenge it the other way and turn around and say to it, it's not about the money, it's about the players that come in to play for the club. I mean, I've been listening to the show tonight and you're talking about a keeper going from West Ham and so forth. It's not about how much they cost. It's about when they put the Millwall shirt on, what they're going to do for us. And what and how they're prepared to show us that they deserve to wear that shirt.
Chris, it's George. Hello, mate.
Hey, mate.
After the season, the season we went out where we did so well, it was always going to be an hard season last year, wasn't it? We weren't going to achieve that again. I'm not saying I thought we would end up so desperate, but it was going to be an hard call for us to match that.
Yep.
It's
always going to be hard when you're coming up into the league, and obviously it's a little bit like let's go back to the 80s when we went up to the old First Division then, and look at it then, and look at how the team then rose above the standards, because I think then everyone had us to go straight down again. But we didn't. We stayed up and we finished well in the old First Division. And then, obviously, the season afterwards, it was catastrophic for us. You know, we came down with our tail between our legs, and it was pretty severe, and we've not been able to get back up there since. We've always been at a second and third division club, always been yo-yoing up and down between these two divisions. From my point of view, what Neil needs is that youth development set up and a structure to bring the youth through again, because we're not seeing that as much. We don't have the scouts. I was listening to last week's show. We don't have that scout like Bob Pearson anymore that can go out and find that player and bring him in. And that's a real challenge for us.
Yeah, Chris, Stan here. I mean, I agree with you when you say about the youth setup, right? Because in the past, when I've done these shows, I've looked at some of these players of other clubs that we played, and you know, there's this myth that goes around and thinks it's all these championship clubs sign all these big players. I mean, a lot of them, like QPR, three or four of them last season come from their youth setup. Bristol City,
we're
another one.
Half of them before any of them get a chance in this day and age.
But the thing is, though, what concerns me is that, and I agree with you about the youth setup, but it don't matter how good they are, right? They have to be given the chance.
Exactly, and that's your problem. I mean, we've got young George Alexander now, Gary's boy. He's probably going to emulate Gregory for desire when he gets on the pitch. To give the kid the chance of 7, 8 to 10, 12 games throughout the course of the season is what he needs. He doesn't need 2 or 3 games here on a push and win,
right?
Because that's not going to do his confidence any good at all.
It was very hard to play youngsters this season, Chris, because of the way we were struggling all through the season.
Yeah, but that wasn't the case at the beginning of the season, was it?
Yeah, but you're chopping it and changing it around a little. What we need is that consistency of the youth understanding that's what they've got to do and bringing the team in closer. Okay, let's look at last season and look at the dressing room and how busted it was and what Neil Harris has tried to do especially at the end of the season, what he's trying to do now of where we need to go. And that's bring the team together, because it was disbanded towards it. There were certain people playing out of position. I can pull out a couple of names of players. I don't think they should still be there.
Who are you talking about, Chris?
We've
got a couple of forwards in my opinion that shouldn't be there. I mean, all due respect to Steve Morrison, I think he's been a great servant for the club, but I look at him sometimes and I think his legs have gone. His heart's there, his head's there, but you know, he's trying, and I really, really feel that. But I just think, come on, he's not going to get there. And you know, at times he does. But that's for literally two to three minutes within a game. Yeah. You know, we need someone doing that for 90 minutes, not 2 to 3 minutes in a game.
So on that, if you were on the board and you were directing Harris in terms of his transfer activity, would you be pointing to the strikers as an area he needs to reinforce?
Yeah, I think strikers is definitely. I think the centre of the park. I think with Tomo. And I think with Pearce and Coops in defence, I reckon we've got a really, really good sound foundation with them three. But I think it's, having lost Gregory is disappointing for me, because that guy works.
The only thing I would say, Chris, and I mean, I'd be interested to get your view on all this, because I think, personally speaking, I mean, one of the reasons we had a bad season last season was the fact that we was too busy knocking the ball up in the air and all this Route 1 rubbish, right?
My question is why isn't Harris teaching and training the players the way that he used to like to play? Mm. If you go back to and look at his hat-trick against Bournemouth, for example, and you look at the 1-2s that he played there to score that second goal, why isn't he teaching that into the team?
Yeah.
Why isn't he getting the forwards? Obviously, Gregory was doing it to the back end of last season because he was on his own. But getting the forward to drop back, to want to pick the ball up, to knock the ball off and have those 1-2s with the midfielders and take it forward and score those goals. Why isn't he pulling out that old footage and, and saying, look, boys, this is what I want you to be doing.
Chris, it's an excellent point. Thank you so much. You've been a glorious fan in the boardroom. Chris Matthews, the Millwall fan. We'll have another fan in the boardroom for you in just a moment. But we've had a call into the show. Remember, it's 0208 7020 558. Peter sits in the East Upper and wants to talk about transfers. Good evening, Peter. Thanks for your call. Who would you be after?
Well, if I'm honest, I would probably be after definitely a left winger. We need someone who's out on that left footed. I can't remember the last person we had who wasn't playing with their right foot, you know, having to use their right foot playing on the left. We need someone who's out on that left foot who can score goals and bring in, you know, just like Jed does.
I think you're exactly right, Pete. I think that's an area that's, you know, us playing Aidan O'Brien out there has been ridiculous for the boy. It's just been not fair on him, to be quite honest. Yeah, I think we need that, and I think that's going to be... We need someone to match, just like you said, to match Jed up.
You got any thoughts on who? Sorry, it's Pat here. You got any thoughts on who we could buy?
Well, it's a hard one to say, because at the moment, we're bidding, you know, big money for Jamal Lowe, and if we don't get Jamal Lowe, then who are we going to get? Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, if we're paying big money, are we going to get someone worth... Look at what we paid for Skalak. And it's not come, you know, it's not come up Trump. So it's a hard one to say. Unless we get people on free transfer, I can't say. I want Jamal Lowe. If we don't get Jamal Lowe, it's going to be very disappointing, because we need someone like that to make a big statement next year.
I'm completely with you on that.
Pete, how much money are the club going to spend this summer?
Do you know what? I would have only said maybe max 2 million, but seeing as we're bidding for Jamal Lowe and the amount of players we need, I don't know. I mean, I would be honest. I would like to say we spend at least 5 million, but listen, that's very, very optimistic. And at the end of the day, with the money that we've got,
But you've also got to factor into that as well, is that some of these players that will come, for example, that we could well end up signing, is that they've run their contract down. Like, for example, Lee Gregory. If Lee Gregory goes to Stoke, it's not going to cost him... We're not going to get nothing out of it, because he's run his contract down, hasn't he? So,
who's that, sorry?
Lee Gregory.
Lee Gregory, no, yeah, totally. But then what was he on wage-wise? Will that cut a big factor?
But what I'm saying is that... In the Football League today, you get a lot of players in there. They run their contract down and they end up signing. What I'm saying is, no transfer fee involved. That's the point.
No, yeah.
Peter, thanks for your call. It's been wonderful chatting to you.
You've got Sam. I think Sam going to be on the show later.
We
big
have.
Shout out to Sam. I sit in East Upper with him. My name's obviously, he'll know Peter. And just say, up the REC group.
Top man, Peter. Thanks very much for your call. Buddy. Lovely to speak to you. Sits in East Upper, as he told you that, and got in touch on 0208 7020 558. Coming up, well, it's a fan in the boardroom, and it's the famous Sam.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and George Lampy. Stan Godwin, still wearing a football shirt, and Patricia Maslin, still not happy that Stan is wearing a football shirt from No One Likes
Don't
Us.
Take it off.
Talking to
no, I won't be
whatever
doing that,
you
mate.
Do.
That'd be worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We've been talking about Jamal Lowe. We had a great call in there from Peter, who wanted to talk about transfers. He mentioned the name of Yuri Skalak. Now, if you do get low and you spend big money on him, what happens if it doesn't work?
Well, that's always the question, isn't it? I mean, you know, we go about Skalak. I mean, you know, I keep saying this, but last season we sign him and Harris says, I've been after him for 3 winters and he don't play him. And you think, well, what's all that about, right? But that's always the danger you get around. If you could sign a player and... For one reason or the other, it don't work. But you have to trust your judgment, didn't you?
Yeah, and it's a blame then on both the manager and the board. I'm delighted to say it's time for another fan in the boardroom. We're joined on the line by Sam Gardner. Now, Sam, thanks for your call. Lovely to hear from you. The last time we chatted, you were singing Millwall songs in the basement of a curry house with your mates and, of course, the waiters. Tonight you join us as a member of Abdu's army, but just before we come on to that, I've got to ask, where did that night end?
Oh, gee, I don't know how far we passed the watershed at the moment.
There's no watershed on radio.
He can't remember, can you, Sam?
No, I can't remember.
Just as well.
Tell us.
A very good night. Like I said, it was our post-season meal. We thought we'd all catch up because sometimes you don't see each other for a few months in the off-season. So, yeah, it was a good night. Good night.
Wonderful. And you are now here as a member of Abdu's Army. Well, what is that? What do you do?
Do you know what, right? A few of us, we're all probably 24 up to about 32. My mate Tom, the old boy of the group, as we say. We all go Millwall together, but we've never played football together. We're all from different kind of areas of South East London. We've all come together via Millwall over the years. And we said, boys, let's get a team going. And we have done the last 3 weeks. And it was a bit of a shock to the system at first, you know, when we're playing against these fit and hungry 18, 19-year-olds. We're all a little bit more unfit than what we all thought. But it's been good. We had 3 games. We've won one, drawn one, lost one. It's been fun.
What sort of scores are we looking at, Sam?
Well, you'll have to give you an honest answer. So, I'm the keeper. I wasn't available on the first game that we played. I was at the big sleepover at the Den, taking my little sister. Right. And they lost 14-1. However, I'm going to...
Close. It was close, then.
They didn't have a keeper.
So, no, I didn't make that game because I took my sister to the big sleepover. The next week, last week, we won 6-0 when I was back in goal, if I say so myself. Uh-huh. And then this week, we lost 3-2 in the last minute to a penalty. But we played against a very good team, so we're coming along nicely.
Yeah, sounds like it.
If I can say that.
And, of course, Sam, it's been a bit of a family affair here on the Millwall Fan Show because we've spoken to your mum, Jackie, as well, who's been doing fantastic work with her Millwall shirt appeal. Just remind us what's going on there and do you have any updates?
Well, there's now a place that everybody can send their donations, shirts, whatever, memorabilia, or specifically, I suppose, old Millwall shirts and kit, which is now to the Lions Centre, obviously just outside the Den. And as my mum has mentioned last time, the response has been brilliant.
Stan's got one for you.
We are, really.
Pat's trying to get Stan's shirt off for him while you're talking.
No, but this shirt is sacred to me. Right? Sacred to me.
Go on, Sam.
Sam, I've got to ask you just quickly, what's your view in men over the age of 40 wearing football shirts? Because George and me are fine with it. Stan's very keen on it. Pat thinks that it's the work of the devil. Where do you stand?
I don't like to sit on the fence, but it's one of those ones where I see when people realise and they say, you know, I'm not a fan of it. And look, when it's big games like a game at Wembley, there's nothing better than seeing a wall of blue, if you can see it like that. But
that's true.
One thing that I do like at Millwall is when you look around and it's those big games, packed house, you know, whether it be a Charlton, a Leeds, a playoff game, and you don't see that. And it looks very different to all the other clubs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Millwall don't wear colours, do they?
That different atmosphere, that different environment, which is something that, you know...
Oh, we're just too tight to buy the shirts, Sam.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, I mean, I have to say I do like the old shirts. I do, honestly. And
I love the old shirts. Oh, I really do. I've got a few of the old...
Yeah,
but you don't wear them, do you?
Well, yeah.
I wear them indoors.
We don't want to know about that.
Blimey. I hope my missus ain't listening to this show.
It's just that Stan wears it all the time. That's all you wear.
Well, every day of the week, I've got some shirt on of Millwall of some description. Every day of the week.
I've got a few of the old Captain Morgan ones that I picked up. The old green one and the red and white. Red and black stripe ones that I wear indoors.
Very nice. Sam, I've got to ask, if you could give me one name of your dream signing for Millwall this summer, within reason, who would it be?
Personally, and I don't want to just sound like everybody's mentioned it, but I really like the sound of this low, to be quite honest. I mean, I think it's one of those players that's going to put us on the front foot at the start of games. And you put yourself on the front foot at the start of games, what does that do at the Den? It creates that atmosphere. And when that crowd gets behind you in the first 5 minutes, that can be the tone for the game. And I personally think a bit of flair. We've not seen a lot of Fred, for whatever reason, in the last year and a half. But when he is playing, and we have those players that have that flair, it gets the crowd going. It goes without saying. And our crowd are second to none. And, you know, that's probably the one, especially today. We all got excited in the office. You just spoke to my boss and my good mate, Peter. we was all talking about it today. Every time there's a transfer rumour, we're flying in the other side of the office and going, cool, have you heard this? And when I told him 2.5...
Are you working hard, Sam?
We try.
And it's also...
We try. No, we do. We do. We do work hard. But, you know, you can't be a bit of speculation when it's supposing we're making a £2.5 million bid, which is unheard of. So...
I'm hearing...
Give us a buy on that one.
Sam, we've got a minute left of the show, but I'm hearing we've now got Sam Allen on the other line who is claiming to know you. Is he part of this office cabal?
Sam Allen is Peter, all right? Sam Allen is Peter.
He's coming back on again.
He's on the wind-up.
Dodgy.
We work for the REC and the RTL group, and, he's my boss. That's one of my very good mates. So, they all messaged me just before saying, we're all listening. And then he called in, and I heard Peter, and I thought... That's no Peter, that's Sam Allen.
I see. Well, Sam Allen, if you're listening, then I can exclusively confirm that Sam Gardner deserves a pay rise. Sam, thank you ever so much for your
thank
call.
You very
An
much.
Exceptional.
Thank you all again.
Cheers,
bye,
Sam.
Bye, Sam.
A wonderful fan in the boardroom and a great show, which we can end with positive news because England 1, Argentina 0, and it's full time. Are the Lionesses going all the way?
Yes.
Well, we certainly hope so. Certainly hope
so. Yes, I think so.
Wonderful stuff. Who would you like to knock out? If there's one country you could beat, who'd you go for?
USA.
What? Aim high.
Doing that.
Yeah. Be great.
That's what you got. Well,
I mean, over 6 million watched that on Sunday against Scotland. I mean, that's some going. And the BBC are doing a great job in promoting it.
Well.
Big shout out to them.
We've, of course, got our very own Women's World Cup show here every Friday, 7 till 8. So you can tune into that as well. Join us next week on the Millwall Fan Show. We'll be talking women's football. And also, might we all be feeling a bit Jamal low?
Oh.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.